Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Laura W. from South Jersey, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. Today's date is Friday, October 27th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are at page 161, the third paragraph, starting with Under Only Slightly Different Conditions, through one paragraph, continuing on to the next page, ending with, has told us of his belief in ours. Comments on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service, the 12 Steps, Kim T, the 12 Traditions, Rhonda R. Readers of the text is Chanel T. Julie E. B. will be reading page 164. Jordan L. is our backup, and our newcomer greeter, Diane B., and our announcements will be read by Shelley E. The reference number for yesterday, Thursday, October 26, 2023, the 10 a.m. meeting is 20,780, that's 20780. And for this morning, 7 a.m. meeting, Friday, October 27th, 2023, the 7 a.m. meeting share ID is 20,782. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kim T. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Kim T., please press star one.
The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks for being of service this month. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you. Happy Friday, everyone. This is Rhonda R. in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare comes first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service in October. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Rhonda. Thank you so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 again to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, we ask that everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume the study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 161, the third paragraph, starting with under only slightly different conditions, through one paragraph ending, has told us of his belief in ours, and comments will be on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Chanel T. to please read the paragraph and get us started. Good morning, Chanel.
Good morning, Laura, and thank you. And thank you, everybody who's here on the line. I'm Chanel T. I'm a grateful compulsive eater living in recovery today by the grace of God. Under only slightly different conditions, the same thing is taking place in many eastern cities. In one of these, there is a well-known hospital for the city. In one of these, there is a well-known hospital for the city. There are informal meetings such as we have described to you, where you may now see scores of members. There are the same fast friendships. I am sorry, I know this isn't right. I apologize. Somehow my Kindle is acting up on me. Let's try that again, shall we? Under only slightly different conditions, the same thing is taking place in many eastern cities. In one of these, there is a well-known hospital for the treatment of alcoholic and drug addiction. 6 years ago, one of our number was a patient there. Many of us have felt for the first time presence and power of God within its walls. We are greatly indebted to the doctor in attendance there, for he, although it might prejudice his own work, has told us of his belief in ours. The presence of and power of God within its walls. That sounds like this fellowship to me. Whether we're on Zoom, we're in person, we're on the phone, on this line, the presence of our higher power is here with us. I'm going to just digress a moment to read from the grapevine after Dr. Silkworth, who is the doctor they're talking about here, had passed. And this is what Bill W. had to say. I'm quoting, "Thus we of AA have lost the physical presence of the great doctor who was our first friend. He gave deep understanding and great encouragement to an infant society in the days when a lack of understanding or a word of discouragement might easily have killed it. He risked his professional reputation to champion an unprecedented spiritual answer to the medical enigma and the human tragedy of alcoholism. Without his blessing, our faith might well have died in its birth. He was a luminous exception to the rule that only an alcoholic understands an alcoholic. He knew us better than we know ourselves. And it goes on to say he stood in an unusual relationship to truth. He was able to see the truth of a man when that truth was deeply hidden from the man himself. And further, it goes on, he was able to save lives that were otherwise beyond help of any kind. I believe, and I know I owe a great debt of gratitude to Dr. Silkworth. And everything that is in this book, every one of you within its walls, so to speak, and most of all, to my higher power I choose to call God, I am extraordinarily thankful today. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Chanel T. Thank you so much for getting us started. So before I start to take names, please remember that although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And please limit your share to 3 minutes. I will time. We are sharing on page 161, the third paragraph, under only slightly different conditions. And please give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
IOA from Southern California.
IOA, good morning.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Bruce E. in Florida.
Sorry, my phone just stopped. Sorry, I heard Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Diane B., New York. Diane B.,
Diane.
New York.
My phone froze.
Bruce.
That was strange. I got Bruce.
Bruce E.
Bruce
Florida.
E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
From Florida. Gotcha. We have room for a couple more. Got Jordan L. Colorado.
Marilyn K. from Oregon.
Marilyn K. from Oregon. All right, let's stop there for now. I've got IOA, Joan Marie M., Diane B., Bruce E., Jordan L., and Marilyn K. IOA, please get us started for 3 minutes.
Greetings. This is IOA, a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. And I'm in Southern California in Irvine. I am so grateful today. I have 8 months of recovery. And as I listen to the reading, I'm just really overwhelmed with the gift that I've been given from this fellowship. And it was funny when it said the East Coast, I thought I'm on the West Coast. And I do feel like all the meetings that I go to are like hospitals, where we're able to come and get respite, but also we're able to come and hear about healing. And my experience has been that I've gone many, many places seeking help for compulsive overeating, but what they saw was my weight. And my top weight is 430 pounds. At the beginning of the year, I was 315 pounds, and by the time I came into recovery, February 27th, I was 308. And my insurance had sent me to these classes, and I had gone for over a year, and I could not stop eating in those classes. So eventually they referred me to bariatric surgery, and I've shared before, when I asked what is going to help me stop eating, they said, you'll throw up, you'll vomit, you'll have diarrhea, and your stomach will feel like it's going to explode. And my experience is none of that ever stopped me from eating compulsively. You don't get to be over 300 pounds and not have experienced diarrhea, vomiting, and your stomach being about to explode. And basically, I had to admit to myself, if that's all they're offering, I have to go back to a place that I know, where I hear people have recovery, have weight loss, but have peace and a relationship with the Most High. And I'm so grateful that I came back to Overeaters Anonymous, that I didn't forget, that I was granted grace to remember the serenity that I heard in these meetings. And what's so interesting is when I go to doctor's appointments now, they are amazed at what I say when they ask me what I've been doing. And while I might not characterize it as faith in our faith, I do believe that there is this desire to know more because of what they see. And I know what they see because I was told I have fatty liver disease, kidney disease, so many things going on because
of my compulsive overeating.
Thank you. And nothing that they said to me helped me stop eating, only a power greater than myself. And I'm so grateful because I've gotten direction and help and support in this program from these vision meetings in the morning to help me right the wrongs in my life and get on a path to helping others. I hope everybody has a great day. And thank you again.
Thank you, IOA. Thank you for your share and congratulations on 8 months. Amazing. Up next is Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning. May I be heard? Good morning.
You're
you
heard.
Said I was unmuted,
yes.
And then I wasn't. You can hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, what stood out to me was the presence and power of God within the walls. And it's within these meetings, whether it's in person or Zoom or on the telephone, the presence and the power of God. I am a recovered compulsive overeater by the presence and the power of God within my life. By His grace and mercy, I have neutrality around food. And what a gift. And what a miracle today. I'm so grateful for God's presence and power in my life. This is a beautiful program. It does work, but there is that key word, it's work. And I was willing to do the work. And now I'm willing to sponsor and do sponsor. And it's a great blessing in my life. This program has literally saved my life. I may not have different things happening physically, except for the pain that would be in my body and legs, and at nighttime not being able to sleep or sleeping like a log because I was drunk on the food. And that's why I can relate so much to the alcoholic, because food inside me, when I ingest those sugars and things like that, they ferment and turn into alcohol in my body. And this was told to me in writing from a doctor. So that's the reason why I cannot ingest those foods. I'm highly allergic to them. But God in His grace and His mercy has taken away that desire, that craving, that compulsion away only by God's power. And doing everything I did in the beginning to get abstinent, I have to continue, be consistent. And I'm so grateful. I never want to go back. And with that, I pass. Thank you for all of your shares every day. And I pass.
Thank you, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Thanks for your share. Up next is Diane B. from New York, followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Laura. This is Diane B. I am very grateful to be recovered here in New York. The beginning of October was my fourth anniversary of abstinence and recovery after being in the room since 1986. So it's been a long haul. And we just heard about the word work, but I am totally grateful. And I'm also grateful that, like, when, you know, how many people here have helped me. The book, you know, when we read the forward to the first edition, it's the first 100 people. Then you get to the forward from the fourth edition, where we are now, and they have nearly 100,800 groups in approximately 150 countries, and that was in 1976, I believe. And that's just AA. What about all the other groups that we have, right? And then here on the Vision Line, when I started in 2014, I don't even think we had 1,000 people. Now we have 11,000 people, right? Because it works. It works, it works, it works, and we have to do the work. And I just love here the presence and the power of God is so important, because that's in my life every day. And it's not just in my prayer and meditation. It's also the people that I speak with and the people who help me and the people that I call, the people who call me. You know, I have a friend who calls them gods in skin. I call them angels. But in any case, we are all higher powered. You know, everything is a learning experience. I do believe that this is an amazing, amazing place to be. Even in the forward to the first edition, we see the word we in written 18 times. You know, I always thought that I had to do this. I always thought that I had a weight problem. From my earliest memories, I thought I had a weight problem. I did not know this was a disease. I did not know that I was using food as the solution to my other issues, my relationship issues, my hardships, whatever. Even when I was celebrating, you know, food was always there. So I'm so grateful that we're here. I love also that it says here that Dr. Silkworth, because it may have prejudiced his own work, he still told us of his belief in ours. And at the time, nobody believed this except the people who were doing it and Dr. Silkworth. And so I am so grateful that we have this support all around the world. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Diane B. from New York. Up next is Bruce E. from Florida, and then we will have Jordan L. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida, and I'm recovered. Been on coming on Vision for 5 years. I've been in the program since 89, over 30 years, and I finally got recovered coming on this call and working with the sponsor. And so it says here, the presence, that for the first time, the presence and power of God within its walls. 6 years ago, one of our members was pitched there. Many of us have felt for the first time the presence and power of God within the walls. So I felt the presence and power of God come on me when I worked with, when a sponsor worked with me in Vision, and we're reading the big book. And starting with the doctor's opinion, and I found it come on me, because the reason I knew that was because it was the obsession and the compulsion started to lift, and I started feeling the connection to my higher power, and that happened, and it was a miracle that was happening, and then a miracle that I got recovered through this program. I think talking about Dr. Silkworth here, and that he took a chance with Bill and allowed him to come in, and after he saw Bill recovered, he allowed him with some skepticism to come in and start working with some of his patients. And then they worked with more and more and more and more, and quite a few of them, or some of them anyway, joined Alcoholics Anonymous, and they started groups going all over the New York area. And so Dr. Silkworth not only did that, but he explained to Bill the allergy to alcohol or sugar, whatever it was, and then explained about the phenomenon of craving and the obsession and the compulsion that comes after that, which is exactly what happens to me when I consume sugars and other substances. So same thing happens to me, that it was happening to Bill when the doctor explained all this to him. So I think I owe a lot to this doctor for explaining Bill, and then Bill went on to write this book, which I read with the sponsor and got recovered. So, and what do I owe to others? I when I first came in the program over 30 years ago, this guy, Richard, stepped forward and said he'd sponsor me. He's passed on now. But he really took some time with me and worked through the steps with me. Even though I didn't get recovered then, I got a lot of success back then. Thank you. And Richard was awesome and really helped me out, and I passed.
Thank you, Bruce E. from Florida. If you're just joining us, we are on page 161 of the Big Book, the third paragraph, starting with under only slightly different conditions, through one paragraph ending with has told us of his belief in ours. Up next is Jordan L., followed by Marilyn K. Good morning, Jordan. Jordan L., we don't hear you. Press star one. Am I being heard?
Yes, you
Maybe
are.
I'm not. Oh, I am. Okay, great. Jordan L., please press star one to share. Okay, we're going to come back to Jordan. Marilyn K., are you available to share?
Hello, I'm Marilyn, and from Oregon, near Portland, Oregon, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater, and I listen to the vision meetings very often, but I don't share very much. I do go to other meetings that I are on Zoom that I do share, but I thought, this meeting has given me so much that I feel like I need to give back and share about the gift of recovery that I have. And the words that stood out for me is the presence and power of God within its walls. And I appreciate everybody who shares and leads in this meeting, because it does touch my life when I listen, which is about three or four times a week. But I always also those words came to me, the presence and action. I can remember about 9 years ago, I had been in recovery, and then I wasn't going to meetings, and it was struggling, and I was eating after dinner and grazing at night, and I just was overwhelmed with it. And I went into my room and sat in my chair, and I just said, God, I can't do it anymore. I just need your help. And since that time, I don't do any eating after dinner. And I know that's coming from the power of God and the power of the group and just how the program works. So thank you for your all the shares and the leadership in this group, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Marilyn Kay from Oregon. Thank you so much for being here. Welcome. Jordan L., are you back on the line, and would you like to share? Jordan L., please press star one. Okay, maybe Jordan's having some technical trouble. We're going to open the lines back up. We're on the third paragraph on page 161, under only slightly different conditions, to the end of that paragraph. If you haven't shared within the last 3 days on any Vision for You meetings, so if you haven't shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please give me the name, your first name and the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Tom L. California.
Ooh, two Californians. I heard Tom L. And who was the other person from California?
Nancy J.
Nancy J.
Wendy M.
We got Wendy M. Wendy, where are you from? Colorado? We've got Tom L., Nancy J., and Wendy M.
Nadia
Anybody
B.
else? Nadia B.
Nadia B., Connecticut.
Thank you, Nadia. I think we have time. Maybe one more?
Vanessa G.
Okay,
Karen
Vanessa,
F.
Great. Sharon F., you said? I don't know if we'll have time, Sharon. We'll put you in at the end, and hopefully we'll get to you. Tom L., Nancy J., Wendy M., Nadia B., Vanessa G., and Sharon F., I think. Tom L., good morning. Please share with us.
Good morning. Thanks for hosting this meeting. And
for the fact of recovery. I was moved to share, well, because one, I love to share. Second, that's that letter by Bill Wilson regarding the death of Silkworth. No Silkworth, no recovery movement. Dr. Bob would never have found a solution, and he would have careened on into oblivion, and so would I. The doctor, I've been going through the doctor's opinion with a sponsee recently. He's not an alcoholic. He's not an addict of any kind. He is a neurologist. You have to be pretty competent to have people operate on your brain or to have anything to do with you. He has medical insurance. He's employed. He's working with alcoholics for 5 years. He cares about alcoholics. You know why? Because they're obnoxious. I know I was. I was really, really hard to deal with. Family did the best they could, and eventually they gave up on me. He put up with them. And then as that letter, and I thank the person who dug up that letter so much, I was confused at first because I was like, that's outside literature, but it bears directly on this. He could have killed this movement with a raised eyebrow. But he had known that alcoholism, of the alcoholics of his type, of this type, of Bill's type, of my type, were hopeless. He had nothing for them. He had never seen one recover, like Dr. Jung had worked with many alcoholics, never had been able to help them. He had heard of a solution, but he could never actually produce it. So he's looking at us from the outside. He tells them, and Bill says, I knew and almost welcomed the idea that I was doomed because he had told me two times and I had gone out and gotten drunk again. He was looking at these men, and he knew he could get them to a position where they were happy, healthy, ready not to drink again, and in a few weeks they would come back, and there was something about they were crazy. I was crazy. As I said, my family did not know what to do with me. Eventually, they asked me to move out when I was in my early 20s because I wouldn't leave. I went on to disability because I found a doctor who they had no solution for me. I don't think bariatric, this was mid-90s, at least I didn't ask for it, and they didn't offer. They just said, here's some money. You know, go do your thing. And I got well over 400 pounds. And I became so hopeless. And then through a series of miracles, I ran into this book in a meeting in California. And I recovered for several years. But guess what? That thing happened again, and I went out and ate. And I didn't get up to 400, I got to 300, but I was living in my car. I'm one of those hopeless people. You know, the doctors just throw up their hands and go, well, maybe surgery, maybe drugs. And, well, that's what I got today. It's just absolutely amazing that this guy let us pursue this bizarre solution, which is not medical. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks so much. Up next is Nancy J., followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Thank you. Super grateful. Great, awesome shares today. So uplifting. So I'm a medical professional. I'm a nurse and have been for almost 40 years. When I hit my first bottom about 13 years ago, and I was in my doctor's office, and I just let it spill out for the very first time into the atmosphere to my doctor, I can't stop eating. If you notice, every time I come in here, I'm much heavier. If I come in here in 3 months, I'll be another 10, 15 pounds. I can't stop. And my doctor was writing and looked up at me through her glasses and then wrote some more and said absolutely nothing. For years, obviously I wanted a magic pill. And I guess I should be grateful that at least she knew that much. There is no magic pill. But for years, I carried resentment against that doctor. And I talked about her in so many meetings. And you know what? She didn't know about OA. She didn't know. You don't know, you don't know. I didn't know about OA. Well, folks, a lot of our physicians don't know. And so now, if a doctor asks me, and doctors I work with, surgeons I work with, how in God's name did you have you so trim, Nancy? I'll say, you know what? I got a nutritionist and a food plan, and I worked a spiritual program called Overeaters Anonymous. If they don't say one more thing, I don't either. But they've got that Overeaters Anonymous in their head. And sometimes they do ask me about it, and that's amazing. And I'm blessed because I get to share occasionally with a patient. I work in a pre-op, post-op area, and if they're complaining about their weight, I'll say, yeah, I just lost X amount of pounds. Oh, how'd you do that? I say the same thing. I plant a seed, maybe. I've given phone numbers out, you know, just when they're asking me. But I just said all that to say, you know, if anybody else has been frustrated with a medical professional, or they don't know necessarily. So share it if you can. And if they listen or not, the seed's planted. And yeah, that's my soapbox, I guess. And just enjoying the shares and so grateful for Vision, so grateful for Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm so thankful that for today I am recovered and living a real full and rich life. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy J. from California. Up next is Wendy M., followed by Nadia B. Good morning, Wendy.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovering almost 3 months. Thank you, God. So what I call the doctor's opinion is a game changer. I've been in this program 22 years. I think it was in 2015 that I happened upon somebody who was following the big book. And they said, what do you eat? I said, well, I eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I chew a lot of sugar-free gum. And at my wedding, true story, I had them put sugar-free cake on top of the cake. And then proceeded to eat both the sugar-free topping as well as the cake itself. And the thing that I kept doing without the help of the big book, and especially the doctor's opinion, is just I just justified everything. I lied about everything. I really thought that peanut butter and jelly sandwiches were abstinent. The list goes on, you know, putting, what is that, sweetener in my iced tea and thinking that's a good idea. The point is, I didn't know. I didn't know anything. And I was in OA. I didn't know anything. And then I met this person. She introduced me to the big book and Division for You. And I began to know something. And the help and the relief that I got when I read about the allergy and the obsession, right? You read it and you say, oh my God, that's exactly me to a T. How do they know that, right? And as somebody said this morning in the 7 a.m. meeting, we wouldn't have had Silkworth agreeing to that letter, to write his name in that letter, if in 1950 there wasn't an acceptance that alcohol is an illness, that didn't become public, that didn't become accepted. That's the only reason he agreed to that. All of this is divine intervention. I'm telling you, if I hadn't read the doctor's opinion and been exposed to this brilliant and so true concept, that this is what we do, it is a game changer. And as somebody said, you know, we come to the end of ourselves. You know, we come to the end of ourselves. I came to the end of myself with food until I didn't, until I got the solution, until I got somebody to explain exactly what I do with food, the allergy and the obsession of the mind. And forever grateful that all of these things.
Thank you, reminder.
Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks, Wendy. I'm from Colorado. Up next is Nadia B., followed by Vanessa G. Good morning, Nadia.
Good morning. This is Nadia B., gratefully recovered in Connecticut and feeling compelled to share today on the sentence, many of us have felt for the first time the presence and power of God within its walls. And I think what I felt was, you know, the presence of power of God in this program, in within the realms of this meeting, within the realms of OA, you know, starting with this specific, you know, theory that Dr. Silkworth had, and he spoke the truth, even though he spoke what he believed, even though, you know, it might have altered his career progression or, you know, his work environment, because it wasn't yet believed by the medical professionals. So I think for me, you know, I know that that belief, that spark, you know, is very important when we feel the presence and the power of God, you know, where truth is spoken, where reality is accepted in this room, you know. Otherwise, I would have been a toast right now, and started with Dr. Silkworth, Dr. Bob, Bill, you know, I feel the power of God, the hand of God in all of those people, the history of AA, the history of Overeaters Anonymous. And also when I look back at my own history, how many people touched my recovery. It takes my life, you know, which is my recovery. That's why I cherish it so much. That's why I'm here in this meeting. That's why I love to listen, because this connects me to that power. And I'm just, you know, feeling indebted to all those who I believe that I am indebted, and paying that debt by sharing my experience, strength, and hope, sharing my belief system, my beliefs in this program, in this book, in this God-given program, because of, you know, so many people who have touched my life, who have helped me, you know, who have taught me how to eat, how to sleep, how to go to work. You know, I had to relearn everything in recovery. I still remember that hospitalization period. You know, it is, thank you so much. It is such a wonderful, you know, I feel presence of God in your voices, in, you know, presence of my friends here in the meetings. I'm so grateful, and I think that's what I called to share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B. from Connecticut. Up next is Vanessa G., and I think we might have time for Sharon. Vanessa, good morning.
Good morning. This is Vanessa G. from New Mexico, recovered in New Mexico. Well, I read this paragraph this morning and listened to the shares. I got pretty emotional, and thinking about, you know, the medical professionals that have tried to help me. And in particular, I went to a therapist known as the best therapist in my city, and I walked in a normal-sized woman. And 3 years later, I had gained over 100 pounds. And I just remember he was doing everything he could to try to help me. And finally, it was, you know, inpatient treatment. We were going to try to do inpatient treatment. And at the time, you know, binge eating disorder wasn't in the, you know, his little DSM book, and or big DSM. And so he wrote me up all different kinds of ways. And I remember non-purging bulimic, trying to get me into inpatient treatment. It didn't work. I had to go to another type of therapy, you know, outpatient, and self-pay. I didn't have insurance coverage. And I was there for 3 months and came home. And immediately started having issues, you know, again, with carbs and sweets. And I didn't realize, you know, anything. I just didn't have any idea about Dr. Silkworth's opinion being applicable to my food, to my food plan, to what I was putting in my body. And it went on for years. And as time went on, the presence and the power of God, which, you know, I had used to heal from my alcoholism, slipped away from me. I just, you know, as I gained weight and continued to descend into the torture that, is this disease. And not only that, but not finding any relief when I wanted so desperately. And so with my whole heart, I really did want to be abstinent. I just couldn't seem to find it again. And I'm so grateful to Dr. Silkworth and the people on this line who had me read the doctor's opinion again with a different eye, discover what abstinence meant for me, and made it possible for me to once again feel the presence and the power of God in my life. I can't tell you what a difference that's made for me. I live a life with purpose now. I really feel like I'm going somewhere.
Gentle that reminder.
And that's my time. So I'll let you go. Thank you again for what you brought to me.
Thanks, Vanessa G. Where are you calling from?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. Gotcha. Thank you, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Sharon, was there a Sharon S.? We've got 2 minutes for you if you'd like to share. I think it was Sharon.
Thank you. It's Sharon. I'm sorry. It's Karen. Karen S. from Lebanon, Tennessee. This is my first time to do any kind of telephone, anything in OA. I'm just such a dinosaur that my sponsor had to lead me by the hand and make me go down the page to find the our meeting schedule. Thank you so much for being here, everyone. Yesterday, with my scheduled weekly meeting with my sponsor, I was late for my meeting because I was binging. I'm sick. I am a compulsive overeater, and I need all of you, and I'm thankful that you're here. So I'm willing to do the work. I'm just terrified of change, but I'm willing to do the work, and I'm showing up, and I know God is there for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen S. from Tennessee. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being here. Welcome home. Please keep coming back. You are in the right place. Thank you, everyone who has shared today. We really appreciate everybody's experience, strength, and hope. It is now time to close the meeting. We are now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Julie E.B. and a really loud car just passed me by. Gratefully recovered. Today I'm in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you dredge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.